Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. If you're unable to stand for that long, I understand. Chapter 10, verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And to whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for this city. And verse 13, woe unto thee, which is the title of my thoughts today, woe unto thee. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, we pray that you would bless those that are here. And may we say when we leave in a little while, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Woe unto thee! Christ would say this to some cities. There are many woes in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, we know there are three woes. We know in the book of Micah 2:1, it says, woe unto them that devise iniquity. What's another word for iniquity? Sin. Let me read to you what the prophet Isaiah chapter 5 has to say when he uses the word woe. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Do we have that in today's society? Absolutely. There are those who call Christians the next thing the terrorists. But woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Where we find woe unto them that do these things. May I say to America, woe unto you if you do not receive the message of the Lord. May I say to the state of Michigan, woe unto you if you receive not the message of the Lord. May I say to Sterling Heights and Utica and Shelby Township and Clinton Township and Macomb Township, woe unto you if you receive not the message of the Lord. May I say to the Covenant Baptist Church attendee, woe unto you if you receive not the message of the Lord. Many are rejecting it today. Many are not interested in it today. Many have other things that are of more importance. And the house of God is, shall we say, forgotten in many occasions. Last Sunday, Don and I got up and we had breakfast there at the, well, here it would be a motel, there it's a resort. And I went out into the balcony, and there were people already swimming, and there were people reading books, and they were wandering around, and we went off to church, and I thought to myself, I wonder how many that are on vacation in Hawaii have taken time for the Lord today. But see, you're on vacation, you don't need to take time for the Lord. I mean, you're on vacation after all. And see, we don't have to take time for the Lord if we've got other things that, well, we could do. May I say this? I don't believe the Lord takes it very kindly when people neglect him. Oh, we don't like it when people neglect us. And yet how often we find that we neglect the Lord. Notice up in verse 1 it says, after these things the Lord appointed and sent. I believe that God has a mission for each and every one of us. There is a job. There is something for us to do in the work of the Lord. Don't neglect that thing that is yours to do. We find in verse 2, Jesus said, the harvest truly is great. Last Sunday morning, we got to Sunday school. We got there at such a time that we were able to talk to the pastor and he and his wife, and we were talking, and I asked him what the population of Kauai was, and he said between 55 and 60,000 residents. 55 and 60,000 residents. That means that in population that it's less than Sterling Heights. Now, I asked him about the tourists, and he says, well, they bring in quite a few people. May I say this, there are a lot of people there in the islands that are visiting. Now, I don't want to seem petty, but there was a problem I had there in Hawaii. Now, you say, Pastor Paul, what problem could you have? All the license plates on the car said Hawaii. Some of you will get that later. If you go to Oregon, you see car plates from California and Washington and other states. You go to Tennessee, you see them from everywhere when you're there at the Smoky Mountains. When you go to Hawaii, all the cars just have Hawaiian plates. But did you know this? On the island of Kauai, 55,000 residents, they have over 100 different religious teachings. Everything from Buddhist to Hindu to Muslims to Mormons to Jehovah's Witnesses and things that you wouldn't even think about. Over 100 different religious beliefs and teachings. The harvest truly is great. Again in verse 2 it says, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, oftentimes we think the laborers are Pastor Paul and Pastor Stephen and my dad. We think they're the laborers. No, we are all laborers for the cause of Christ. Every one of us has a job to do. Verse 3 says, go. Folks, that has been the decree from Christ's last statement before he left the earth is go. Go. We are lambs among wolves. May I say, it's a dangerous world out there. It's a dangerous world. My wife and I decided that we were going to take a tour off one of the islands, and we were supposed to go one way north from the Port Allen. You know, I liked that Port Allen. It was about the only city I could call by its name and knew I was saying it right. But because of the choppy waters, they decided they were going to send us south. They were going to send us in a different direction, and that was fine. We'd never been either place, so we didn't know the difference. And, you know, how many of you are people watchers? You like to observe people. Well, as Donna and I were walking up to where we were going to meet with the captain and all that, two females walked up. Well, they were both dressed as females. Now, one of them was a very attractive blonde. She was. Very good. Thank you. The other one spoke, and I said, uh-oh, that ain't no girl. It didn't matter that she had on a miniskirt. I mean, it was a short miniskirt. but he had shaved his legs. And he had surgically implanted things. And he tried to talk like a girl. But you know the problem, guys, you have that women don't have is that Adam's apple. You know, we live in a dangerous world. He was a show-off. He was sickening. I was glad that my wife did not throw him overboard. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a world that calls evil good and good evil. And you that have teenagers, you better be on guard because the world wants your kids. And they want to take them and they want to manipulate them and they're lying to them and you better be on guard. You better be on guard because it's a dangerous world. We find in verse 7 it says the laborer is worthy of his hire. That they were supposed to help out those that were gone out to spread the gospel. And there were those that opened up their homes and provided for those people. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to open up your house? You know, every year we have the missionaries come in, and there are some that need housing. Would you be willing to house a missionary for 2 or 3 or 4 days? We find that these were. But verse 10 then tells us, and they receive you not. You know, there was a day and age in which Christianity flourished in America. America has had a number of nationwide revivals. But things have changed. There are those today that will not receive the wondrous news of Jesus Christ. There are those who will not receive the wondrous news of the grace of God. I'm not talking about not going to church. I'm talking about not receiving the wondrous news of salvation. See, there are some churches under the guise of Christianity that say, if you live good enough, God has to let you in. God doesn't have to let you in unless you have come to the door and knocked on the door and asked for admission. You must have asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to become your Savior. But you know, there's a startling announcement that Jesus makes. Everybody in Christ's time knew of Sodom and Gomorrah. They knew of what Sodom and Gomorrah represented. And Jesus says this, it shall be more tolerable in that day, the day of judgment, for Sodom than for that city. It'd be more tolerable. And you ponder that and you say, well, what are you talking about? Sodom and Gomorrah did not have the witness that Sterling Heights has today. Do you realize that? They did not have the Word of God like we have it today. You know, we have churches and we have Bibles and we have Christian radio stations and we have so much more that promotes the cause of Christ. Who do you think is going to be judged more severely? Sterling Heights residents who have not accepted Christ as their Savior or the residents of Sodom who did not have the witness? Woe unto you. Let's read verses 12 through 15. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. Last June, Don and I were in Amish country in Ohio. And we were going to attend a Wednesday evening service at a church just outside of Millersburg. Anybody ever been to Millersburg, Ohio? I see a few hands, some of you. Millersburg, Ohio, we were there. We arrived at the church. We had been at a fellowship meeting there a short time beforehand, and I knew where the church was, and I knew that they were a good, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. And we went, I got Donna all ready, and I got all ready, and we drove over to the church, and we got there, and it was closed. And I thought to myself, why is it closed? So, you know, the best thing to do is read the sign, right? Outside, read the sign. The sign said midweek Bible study was on Thursday. And so I knew of another Baptist church. We had seen it as we had entered into Millersburg a day or two before. And we drove over to this other Baptist church. The former pastor, Cliff Hartley, a graduate of Liberty Baptist College in Lynchburg, Virginia, was in attendance. But now his son was the pastor. Made me feel right at home since the son was the pastor of the church. There were about 20 adults in the auditorium. We had arrived a few minutes late, obviously, because we'd been going to another church. And we were about 20 minutes late, and there were about 20 adults in the auditorium. The kids and the teens were another part of the church. We never did see them. I never did hear of them, but we were told they were elsewhere. And the preacher preached from this portion of Scripture, "Woe unto thee." And I've waited since June to preach some of what he said to you today. Now, not everything I'm going to say was what he had to say. I didn't take notes or anything, so a lot of this is just from memory. But he talked about the fact that we in America are going to be judged harshly because we have been given the gospel and many have rejected it. To whom much is given, much is expected. Sodom and Gomorrah, we know that because they were Sodomites, homosexuals, they call them today gay. I don't use the word gay because it is a word that represents someone that's happy and glad to be alive. I don't consider them glad to be alive. But you can change the name, it's still the same. God hates the sin of immorality. Now, notice I said the sin of immorality. When God made man and woman, he made them man and woman for a reason. In the Old Testament, we find that the Lord Jehovah told Moses, and he told the people that the immoral were to be stoned. Be they homosexual or heterosexual, if they were immoral, they were to be stoned. Because God hates the sin of immorality. And remember this, the marriage union of one man and one wife in holy matrimony represents the union of Christ to his bride, the church, for whom he died. And when we distort that, we distort what that image of marriage is all about. Yet God, who brought judgment upon these two cities because of their immorality, said that the judgment would be more tolerable than for the cities that he names here of Chorazin and Bethsaida, and may I say for cities in America, because they have rejected Christ and his unspeakable gift. They have rejected it. They want nothing to do with it. Verse 13 says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin." Do you see that there's an exclamation point after the word Chorazin? You know, you don't find a lot of explanation points in the Word of God. And so when there is one, we better take note. "Woe unto thee, Chorazin." We find that Chorazin was located about 2 miles north of Capernaum. It ceased to be inhabited around the 3rd century. It apparently was once an important city, and Jesus must have ministered there. for we read his words of condemnation. Have you ever wondered what Jesus Christ would have to say about Sterling Heights, Michigan? Other than they don't plow their streets enough. Have you ever wondered what they would say about Shelby Township or the surrounding areas? What would they say? What would Christ say? Would he say, well, you know, they're a safe city, or they've got a lot of factories, or they have, you know, Lakeside Mall. What would we do without Lakeside Mall? You know, a missionary came in a few months ago, and he says, wow, whatever restaurant you want, it's over there on Hall Road. And I said, just about. Do you think Christ would be impressed that we have a supreme cheeseburger place over here? Do you think he'd be impressed, though, that we have churches that proclaim the gospel? I think that would be impressing, but do we have enough people that are attending these type churches? No. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Again, an explanation point. Located on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, and it was also upbraided by Jesus for their unbelief. Their unbelief. Now verses 13 and 14. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Tyre, the prophet Isaiah refers to as a colony of Sidon. Although it was near the land of Israel and had dealings with the Israelites, it apparently had never received the teachings of the Lord Jehovah. But according to the Lord Jesus, they would have repented if they had received the word of God. We were there on the islands, and we were taking a tour, and they were talking about the people who had begun to come to the Hawaiian Islands, the Polynesians, and how that they may have been there purely by chance. And I think to myself about these Polynesians that arrived many hundreds of years ago before the gospel of Christ arrived there. And you think to yourselves, they never heard the word of God. And they died in their sins and went to hell. And you think then compared to people who live in 2014 where the word of God is proclaimed. People are invited to come to church. And I don't know how many people say, well, I'll think about it. This past week, Brother Stephen received a phone call from a woman that wanted some food, and he took some down to her. And through the week, she's made a number of phone calls. We received a message on the machine from her saying she wanted some milk and orange juice. And she called this morning, and she said, I need some clothes. And I asked her, I said, ma'am, where do you go to church? She goes, well, it's winter. She goes, I don't go to church in the winter. I said, well, where do you go in the spring and the summer? And she hesitated, and she goes, well, I really don't. I said to her, I said, then you haven't made church a priority in your life. She hung up. See, the church to many people is just something that hands out things. Folks, the church is to be more than just handing out orange juice and milk. The church is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, we have come to the point where churches are looked at as something only when I need something, then I'll go. When we stand before the Lord, he's going to want to know what we've done with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for the church. These cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, saw his works, heard his words, and rejected him. Capernaum was the headquarters as it were, of Christ during his earthly ministry. He was in and around it over and over and over again. And they rejected his teaching. They rejected his preaching. May I say unto us that are here today, woe unto you that have left your first love. The church of Ephesus was chided because they had left their first love. Woe unto you that have denied Christ after you have accepted him as your Savior. What do you mean denied him? Well, when you eat there at McDonald's, do you bow your head in prayer and thank God for the food? When you're there at school and you're there in the cafeteria and it's time to eat lunch, do you bow your head in prayer? Or do we not deny the Lord and we act as if we're embarrassed? Do we deny him when we're with family and friends? Woe unto you that have stolen the Lord's tithes and offerings and spent them on your own selfish desires. God's desire is that Christians support the work of the Lord through their tithes and offerings. Woe unto you that have forsaken the Lord and followed after the world's appetites. I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And may I say this, the pastor last Sunday spoke for 50 minutes. That's 50 minutes. I think you guys are spoiled. According to him, I have 22 minutes left. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Woe unto you that have forsaken the Lord, that have refused to follow after the Lord's teachings and live in immorality and sexual filth. Woe unto them that are self-righteous. Woe unto them that have never once given an invitation to the Lord's house to somebody. Have never one time said, why don't you come over to the church? Woe unto you that have given up reading the Word of God on a daily basis. Woe unto you that have restricted your prayer life to only when you want something. But most of all, woe unto you that have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, for you are without excuse. Matthew 25 says concerning the 10 virgins, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Woe unto you that have been in church but have never accepted Christ. For John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Shall we stand together? 381, the invitation song, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Do you know Christ is your Savior? And if so, are we serving him faithfully? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. And Lord, we ask that we would have our hearts right, desiring to serve you faithfully, willing to sacrifice as needed, willing, Lord, to be accountable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.